Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Bitch, you guessed it. I'm still with my nigga. Coming to the
I can't remember. I've been popping my
bills in a bit, keeping it lit. Me and my clique, me and my clique, me and the little
We're back at it again. Another episode of the Semi-Pro Ducks podcast for the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football League. We are turning ahead now to week three, the last week of the season before we have to deal with bye weeks, starting to deal with the massive amounts of injuries that have struck just about every team starting running back in the NFL. RIP and peace to Danny Woodhead. Adrian Peterson out for many months. Jay Stu is doubtful. Corey Coleman has broken his ham. And to get even more Brownsy, Josh Gordon has a warrant out for his rest for not taking a paternity test. Classy stuff. There is a lot going on in these NFL backfields, and so working the waiver wires to find the right guy is very important. We start this week with Austin, a vet of working the waiver wires and trades after his auto draft. He gets his first crack at being on the pod, followed with Luke and Brandon a little bit later on from Denver. Let's go ahead and welcome in Austin to the podcast. Austin, welcome. How's it going?
Hey there, Rick. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Here today just to talk some sports, you know. I just want to talk fantasy football and a few things that I think that we can, have a good time talking about. And just looked at this matchups. There's some good matchups this week. Some huge injuries this last week that I think are going to definitely hurt some teams and definitely help some other people that were able to make some moves on the waiver wire. So let's get started.
All right, sounds good. Let's go right ahead. We're jumping into this. Pip versus Duncan. Pip is the lowest scoring team in the league through 2 weeks. Outside of his quarterbacks, none of his starters have found the end zone when he's played them. Torrey Smith got a score. He was on the bench. Pip was led by Jarvis Landry with a 10-reception, 137-yard game against Miami. Tim also struggled in that matchup, putting up points, but he did sneak away with the win. Meanwhile, Duncan had an epic collapse from his 155 in week one. Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott carried Duncan in week two, but that was about all he had. His big week guys, Baldwin, Sanu, and Allen, were all held under 4 points, and Duncan finished with 83. The only team that he would have beaten would have been Pip, so how fitting they play each other this week. So this week, Duncan is the projected favorite. Last week, the projections were 2-4. Scott and Fronick were the only projected winners in one. Fronick didn't cover, so there's your betting line there. And has a lot better matchups going against defenses in week three, does Duncan. Of his guys playing defenses that rank close to 30 or above it. He does have Jay Stu moved out of his lineup, and he's got Melvin Gordon coming in from flex to RB2. Pip, on the other hand, had some great foresight to get Charles Sims from Jordan in their trade last week. Sims now the starter with Doug Martin out, but is going against the tough run defense of Los Angeles. And both of his QBs have some tough to not great matchups going up against Baltimore and Arizona, while spending a new league record $16 on Dennis Pitta, fitting of the Harambe watch mantra of finding guys who haven't scored a touchdown so far. A lot of red in the matchup for Pip. Austin, what do you think of this matchup between these two this week?
Looking at Pip's team, first of all, before we go too far here, I just want to say, Nick Fronick, you got extremely lucky last week. Thank God for the Eagles and Darren Sproles just absolutely crushing my dreams. So I just want to get that out of the way first of all. Moving on to Pip's team, he's starting Blake Bortles at quarterback. Like you said, I know you said excluding quarterback, but I do want to bring up starting Blake Bortles. I know he was a good fantasy option last year, but that Jaguars team looks like an absolute mess this year. Mark Ingram, Spencer Ware isn't a great situation. I know Mark Ingram hasn't been too bad in years past, but, the Saints have definitely shown themselves pretty committed to the pass so far this year. Jarvis Landry, I won't lie, I was really excited about him before the year, and you can ask Pip, I've tried to trade him a handful of times, and of course I tried to lowball him every single time, so thank God he didn't accept. Thank God he didn't try and accept any of those, because Landry hasn't turned out to be much of anything this so far. Hearns, another Jaguar, I know he loves his Jags, but my God, it's got to give at some point. Danny Woodhead is, it, from what I see, is still slated in at the flex, which...
Oh, no, he's dropped him. He's done now.
Did he drop him? Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, overall, the thing that, actually, before the season, Pip's team, I really liked Pip's team, and I thought that that team was going to be one of the front runners, to be honest with you, even though the quarterback situation was a little rough. I thought that he had some players that were going to be really good, and... being that he's 0-2 is a pretty big surprise. Duncan's team, on the other hand, Andrew Luck, he makes basically the Colts in general make me want to just quit being a fan. They are useless. Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon is, you can call it what you will at running back. I wouldn't call it much. Jordy Nelson and Doug Baldwin. Jordy Nelson's obviously a stud. Other than that, Duncan's team is a pretty subpar. I don't really see much promise there. I do see Pip coming out on top on this one by quite a bit, and just because Duncan, I don't think even has close, doesn't even have the players to match up. So that's what I think on that one.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mark Ingram for Pip's team here. I don't know if it is a great matchup for the going up against the Falcons on Monday night. Like, the Falcons have a garbage run defense. It's just terrible. But
yeah,
the thing is that
yeah,
their pass defense isn't great either. And like you said, the Saints like to throw the ball. I mean, you know, you've got Breeze and Cooks. They
sure
monster week one. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. So
yeah, you bet.
The thing is that, like, I could see Ingram being completely lost in that offense and just getting, like, a couple catches and then some yards here and there, maybe a goal
sure
line touch or two. It's like a toss-up there. Meanwhile, I look at Duncan's team, and everybody's kind of boom or bust. Like, Jordy's got his two touchdowns so far. Doug Baldwin had a bad week last week, and San Francisco's defense looked really bad last week but was really good against the Rams, and the entire Seahawks like offensive line is not doing well. That could be something that proves to be, you know, a good matchup there. I'm not sure. So
yeah,
you completely forgotten about last week. I think he had maybe two catches. Three catches for 19 yards. So a big,
yeah, I'm looking at Mark. I'm looking at Mark Ingram right now, and I see first 2 weeks of the season, 12 carries for 58 yards and 9 carries for 30 yards last week. I mean, like I said, I know he's been good in the past, but we all know that that running backs have a pretty short shelf life. And we see it year after year, and that's why there's always new players that are higher up the draft boards every year, young players. So, I mean, not saying that Ingram's completely run his course, but you kind of start wondering, you know, do the Saints feel that way? Are they going to keep, you know, pounding the ball with him, or are they kind of starting to, you know, go in a different direction? So that's something to keep an eye on, and definitely something that I think will be key in their matchup.
Yeah, I don't see it getting either team over 100 points in this one. I know it's...
I don't either.
It's Duncan by 9 is the projection. I think Pip comes away with a squeaker. I really think it comes down to Monday night. And also, obviously, Duncan with his, like, 15 Seahawks, it comes down to the Seahawks-Niners game. Like, how good is the Seahawks defense? How good is the Niners offense, obviously, in that one? And then is Doug Baldwin going to get the ball? Is he going to get his catches?
That's really an interesting storyline right there, just the Seahawks offense. Like, what are they going to do? Can they move the ball well enough to get Hauschka in field goal range? Can Doug Baldwin get any catches? I mean, that's going to be key for him right there.
Yeah, I think No, go ahead.
I think those guys, I mean, obviously with Hauschka's Seahawks defense and Doug Baldwin, I mean, with the way that whole Seahawks team played last week, are we in for another low-scoring affair and Doug Baldwin goes for, you know, one catch for 12 yards and then you have Seahawks defense get some points because San Francisco turns it over a couple times, but then you have Hauschka coming away with maybe, you know, 3 points or something.
Yeah, it could.
That's gonna be a big hit.
That could easily happen. I see this one as like high 80s, low 90s. I mean, it comes down to can possibly the Falcons shut down Drew Brees, or maybe two of the like 15 different receivers Drew Brees has, and maybe they decide to go to Mark Ingram Monday night.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, moving on. My Falcons play Monday night, but I take on Andrew this week. I've had the worst.
Oh boy!
Yep, I've had the worst luck in the league so far. I've gone against the second highest scorer each week, and I've had the most points scored against me in the league thus far. Even with my defense putting up 22, my kicker put up 15. Cam Newton was 0.2 of a point away from 30. I managed to lose by 20, thanks in part to my running backs not getting the ball, and also Emmanuel Sanders like not getting any catches from basically three quarters of the game, just like Rawls left early in the second quarter. Eddie Lacy had like the five carries at the goal line and nothing happened. I think that was the last time he carried the ball. I did like my team's performance going into Sunday night. I thought I had a chance to make it again with Eddie Lacy, but he's in classic 2015 form of not running well and not scoring. It also doesn't help that Brandon had his running backs go for 19, 18, and 14. Andrew managed to beat Luke with a minus 6 from his defense and a 30 spot from Matt Forte and 20 from DeAndre Hopkins. As for this week, Andrew is only a one-point favorite, and I catch a break with Adrian Peterson not playing for Andrew, but I don't think that would have mattered since Adrian Peterson has been pretty garbage. Andrew does pick up Jay Ajayi and Arian Foster, since he is likely out. That could be a starter in Miami. Andrew does have a lot of green in his matchup, but some major reds are his defense going up against Arizona and Michael Floyd, who's been a clear number two option in that Arizona passing offense, as well as a favorable matchup with DeAndre Hopkins going against a lower-ranked Pats defense. I've got my own Texans receiver in that Thursday night game with Will Fuller, the Cardinals defense up against the Bills defense, and I like the Packers to get the run game going against the Lions that's taken a lot of losses to injury, especially at linebacker. I am too concerned about Rawls and Michael. I liked that I had both of them at the season because I thought Rawls would be the clear starter, and it's very much turning into a running back by committee, and it's really bothering me. Austin, what do you think of my matchup with Andrew?
We'll start with your team first. Moving through, having both of those Seahawks running backs is, yeah, I don't blame you. That sounds, just to be blunt with you, that sounds absolutely horrible. I don't really know which one of those guys is going to end up being worth anything. Having Emmanuel Sanders is tough because I'm almost certain Denver just signed some guy from Oregon City High School to play quarterback for them. Cam Newton, obviously solid. Eddie Lacy, they continuously preach his weight loss, yet he looks like he got fatter. Other than that, I think your Cardinals defense against Buffalo could be huge for you. Big time points there. Will Fuller, he could have a good game against that New England secondary. In terms of, I really think the matchup that you have with Andrew is going to be, I actually see you coming out ahead here. I see Andrew's team with Delanie Walker, that tight end position there. I don't really like Delanie Walker. Last year, obviously, he was a big-time option, but this year that Titans offense has been so up and down, it's hard to rely on him. DeSean Jackson's a tough option. I owned two Redskins, and I'm really glad that I only own one now. His running backs, obviously Forte's a stud, but Crowell, yeah, he had a great week last week, but I owned him last year, and wow, can he be terrible. I honestly see you coming out on top here, mainly due to quarterback. I think you're going to get huge points out of Cam, and you're going to get huge points out of your defense going against Buffalo. And like I said, I think Will Fuller probably have a decent game too. And who knows, you might get Emmanuel Sanders finally to step up for you and make some plays. I definitely think I see you coming out ahead there. I know Andrew has my guy, and I traded him DeAndre Hopkins. I would like to say, Andrew, thanks for Stephon Diggs. I It's really looking like I got a hell of a deal on that. Stephon Diggs and Brandon Marshall. Yeah, Hopkins has found the end zone twice in 2 weeks, but Marshall went for over 10 last week, and then in the first 2 weeks, I've had Diggs go for 10 the first week and go for, what, 28 or something last week. I mean, I'm really happy with that trade. So I'd like to tell Andrew that. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I going back to your Delanie Walker thing, I mean, watching how good Jacob Tammy and the other Max Hooper and even Levine Toilolo managed to catch a football, which I think is like his third career reception, that Raiders pass defense has not been great, and it's a lot of the time, I mean, they really upped their linebackers in Oakland, and, you know, it's normally linebackers who cover the tight end there, and all three of the Falcons' tight ends were wide open for big plays. So I think actually Delanie Walker against Oakland he's probably going to outscore Jesse James for me, unless Zach Ertz, who is a game-time decision, I don't know if I'm going to flip him in there at the last minute. Because I feel like if he takes one hit, he's got the displacement of his collarbone and his ribs. And if you take one bad hit with that, like, that's not going to go well. So I might keep Jesse James in there. And I am worried about his running backs. I think they are, all three of them, even going down to Jay Ajayi down at the flex. I think he does better because I'm essentially playing with 9 guys instead of 10 with Michael and Thomas Rawls in there because they're essentially one running back. So that doesn't help me too much. I don't know. I feel like if I could get decent production, like another 12-ish point game from Will Fuller, and if Emmanuel Sanders like gets the ball throughout the entire game, I think he gets a lot of catches. His big play ability is pretty huge. Julio's going to get his work in Monday night. I think it's a close one. I really don't want to join the 0-3 club, but I think if there's a week for me to not go 0-3, it's only this one because I can't go 0-3 in week 5. but if there's a chance for me to get like my first win, I'm hoping that Andrew doesn't score the second most points again this week. But I'm hopeful for myself for some reason.
Sure. I would like to, just as a quick question here, not to coach him up or anything, but is there any reason why you choose not to start Derrick Henry over, say, Thomas Rawls or Christine Michael? Just out of curiosity.
I'm not liking how, like, he's not getting as many touches as I would like him to get to be worthy of a start for me.
Okay.
I'm really waiting until there's kind of like a bye week that comes into play where I'm kind of forced to play him and just kind of hope that's the week that he does better. Let me pull up his numbers. Yeah, I mean,
I'm looking at him now. It looks like he's going for about 5.4 in both weeks.
Yeah.
Last week he did have 9 carries for 40 yards. So, I mean, that's encouraging. I can get why you wouldn't want to start him, but I just, looking at it, I'm just curious because of just starting Michael and Rawls. It's so brutal, like you said, that I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do there. That's just a bad situation to be in.
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing I can think of is I'm not going to play Michael and Rawls, and I would move in Henry and Terrence West, but then I'm playing 2 backups that are essentially the same as playing 2 guys who are splitting their time. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's almost like I would rather play with 9 and get all of Seattle's rushing game as opposed to playing with 10 and then getting backup carries out of Derrick Henry and backup carries out of Terrence West.
That's true. You could always just sweeten your trade offers, and I might send Fozzie Whitaker over.
I would really enjoy you sending Fozzie Whitaker over. We can talk about trades not on the pod because I don't want to give away any other deals I may or may not be working on right now. All right. And finally, it's your matchup, Austin. You only lost by 2 points last week to Fronik. Overall, what did you think of last week's game?
Well, I kind of gave a quick summary there in the beginning. I needed to watch the Sunday night game and yell and curse at the television as I watched Darren Sproles crush my hopes and dreams at an incredible comeback victory. So there's that. Really happy with my receiver production last week. 10 points, 13 points, and 28 out of Diggs. I mean, that's as good of a week as you're going to have. Obviously, losing Doug Martin hurts, but getting Fozzie Whitaker helps. Ryan Matthews continues to be a good option for me. And then hopefully in a couple weeks get Deion Lewis back. Unfortunately, I lost Corey Coleman, who had 25 points on my bench last week, and now he has a fractured hand. So
that was a bad break.
That's wonderful news. I should get Touchdown Tom back here in a couple weeks and might start him over Breeze, so we'll see how that goes. And probably another few weeks out on getting Deion Lewis back too. So I continue still getting bit by the injury bug, but I guess good job to Fronek's team. They did what they had to do, even though he had John Brown in his lineup who scored 1.9 points. It was a brutal loss, and if I miss the playoffs because of it, and I look back and say that was a pivotal moment, I'm not going to be pleased, I can tell you that much. Moving on to this week, though, let's see. I'm pretty worried about playing Scott's 2-0 team. One of the main reasons is Derek Carr, which I didn't think I'd ever be saying that. The Raiders have a quarterback, and he's a pretty damn good one. Lamar Miller is getting, like, every carry under the sun for Houston. DeMarco Murray is a solid option. Obviously, like I said, that Titans offense has been kind of up and down, so we'll see what kind of version we get of DeMarco Murray. And he's playing Oakland's run defense, which, like you were talking about, those linebackers in Oakland have been pretty damn good. Allen Robinson, I have him in another league, and like I said, the Jaguars, oh my God, something's got to happen because Allen Robinson's been terrible. Julian Edelman, obviously, if New England finds a quarterback, Julian Edelman's always a good option. Willie Snead, I'm not a huge fan of. Greg Olsen, you know, I mean, Greg Olsen's an awesome option. Travis Benjamin with Keenan Allen going down, that's a great option for him. Honestly, I see, in reality, I probably see Scott going 3-0 here, and I'm dropping to 1-2, just because I think he probably beats me at the quarterback position. He's definitely better at the running back position. I may edge him in wide receivers and tight end. He'll probably get me in tight end by a couple. I think I can get some points back in defense. I should be able to win some there, but for the most part, I think Scott, for once, has a really solid team, and I think if he sees it through, he might make it. He goes all the way through the year and, you know, has the patience to keep up every week. He will, I think he might make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, Scott has six guys who are in the top five. He's got the number one fantasy quarterback, Matt Ryan, on his bench, the number three quarterback, Derek Carr, number five running back, number three wide receiver, number one tight end, Greg Olsen, number one defense. I mean, of all people, how does Scott end up with that many top five guys? I don't think anyone will ever know.
It's a good question. It really is. The fact that he has Travis Kelce on his bench is, I mean, it kind of tells the story of his team, really. If you have enough guys that you feel you can start and leave Kelce on the bench, that's wow.
I would, yeah, I would almost switch out Olsen for Kelce because Olsen's going up against his defense. And I mean, while the Vikings do have a really good defense, Greg Olsen is still a target machine, and I think Carolina can still put up points. And then Travis Benjamin at flex, I think he would put up more points. Indianapolis pass defense isn't going to be great, and Phillip Rivers is going to want to throw the ball to someone because I don't think that Rivers believes that Melvin Gordon is a good running back to have in the backfield.
Yeah, that's, I completely agree. Benjamin is the offense on that team right now. Melvin Gordon's not anything special like people thought he'd be. And you have, I mean, that Chargers team is a mess. You have, just on offense. I mean, those receivers. I mean, I don't think I've heard of anybody on the team in the receiving core, anyways. Travis Benjamin, I think, is going to be a huge option. I think Scott's going to, even though I have Fozzie Whitaker there, who I think will be, you know, matched up in the flex against Benjamin, I don't even think Whitaker will come close to him this week, just because of the volume. I think Whitaker will end up splitting more time with Artist Payne for Carolina, and you'll end up with Benjamin, you know, getting majority of the targets for San Diego. So I feel that that's probably a big disadvantage for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I am extra upset that you got Fozzie Whitaker because you outbid me for him on the waivers. I edited my bid like three different times. I think I got up to like $9, and I was like, I think that'll get me Fozzie. And then there you go in with your 11, you wild, crazy man.
I decided to go 11 because I figured the next guy was probably going 10, so I'd get it because 10's a good, you know, that just seems like the right number. He'd bid off, I'll get him for $10, and then I figure, oh, I'll put in 11, and I'll probably get it over somebody. And when I woke up and I saw that I got Fozzie, I was really surprised, honestly.
Yeah, I was not too happy. I thought for sure people would be a little tedious with him, but, well, damn you. Breeze and Cooks against the Falcons, I think this could be, like, week one. I think between them, they could easily get 45. So I've got this. Basically, if Scott's got a lead going into Monday night, I don't think any lead is safe at all. If it's within 10, certainly not. But even anything over 20 or 30, if he's kind of blowing you out, I think you're still in this. And I think it's a tight one. It's well within the 10 points that's projected. And I have no idea who's going to win. I'm not picking one. I'm staying away from this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a close one. It should be. Like I said, as long as nothing crazy happens, no crazy injuries, anything like that. I'm still picking Scott, honestly, because I really like his team a lot. Hats off to Scott for having such a freaking awesome team. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Thank you very much, Austin, for coming on the pod. We enjoy finally hearing from you, and we hope to have you on again.
Absolutely. Can't wait to be back.
We go now to get our first tag team call of the season. We bring in Luke and Brandon from Denver, Colorado. How is everyone doing in Denver?
Hi, Rick. We're doing well.
Doing just super.
That's great to hear. Let's hop into the matchups here. We've got Tim versus Jared. Last week, Tim snuck away with the win against Pip, and Jared sent Jordan to the 0-2 club with Pip and myself. Jared is hoping CJ Anderson can keep up his strong start to the season, and Gurley can actually begin his. While Tim is making some of the most interesting moves, decisions going with Justin Forsett at RB2 and picking up Quincy Enunwa at flex over Matt Jones, while Jared took a page from the Scott Fitzgerald Book of Fantasy Decisions, going with two tight ends that paid off last week, he's opting not to do that this week. What do you make of this matchup?
I'll start off here. Tim's team is kind of scaring me here. Aaron Rodgers is not the same quarterback as he was in 2014. His running backs are not very great. He pretty much only has McCoy, and even he's not playing that great. And it's a matter of time before he gets hurt. His receivers are good. Obviously, he has the best player in the team on the league, thanks to Tim winning the first pick again 2 years in a row. And then we'll see how Alshon does without Jay Cutler. And Marcus is a big fan of Sharp. Also, I'm not a huge fan of Jared's team because he has Russell Wilson on it. And Gurley's, I think, more like a flex play at this point, even though we picked him 6th overall. He's got 3 true number one receivers, so that's obviously nice. And I like Frank Gore. That's about it. I think Jared's going to win this one.
Jared also has the best player in fantasy history with the Broncos defense. So automatic 20 points every week there for sure. So congrats on that. But, yeah, I mean, I probably agree with pretty much everything Luke says. Antonio Brown would be cool if he was actually, like, put up numbers, but what can you do? And then, yeah, just a lot of questions on over here on Timmy Turner's team. Antonio Gates is kind of going to be the only person who plays offense off San Diego, which will probably be nice. And Indiana's defense is trash, so that could be nice. But other than that, no one really knows. I mean, I think picking up Enunwa was probably a good idea, but that's like if he's, I mean, a number three receiver unless people get hurt. So it's kind of like cynical there on your part.
Right.
But other than that, things are great.
Yeah, I like Mike Evans to have a big week against the Rams. I'm not sure about how Todd Gurley and the rest of the Rams offense is going to do on the road traveling cross country. And What do I got? Oh, yeah. Marcus and the Titans lit up the Raiders in the air. I'm picking that. So I do like Trey Sharp to still start, even though he wasn't great last week when I said he would do well. But this is the week for sure that he does better.
Yeah, and it sounds like Antonio Gates might not even play this week, so he's going to have to pick up someone. So we'll see who he has to drop.
Oh, already working the waiver wires. Interesting. Let's move to our next matchup. Luke, you get Jordan Archer and the rest of the Caddyshack Williams. Jordan started off his pod preview by saying, after week three when I play Luke, he's going to be the best 0-3 team after already making the claim he would go undefeated and win the league. Jordan is now not even the best 0-2 team. And Luke, you've got a win, so Jordan is 0-2 on his predictions, as well as the wacky-ass one that he said Boston College would win the ACC or whatever the hell that was about. Luke, even with your three wide receivers struggled last week, do you think that this is when they turn things around?
Yeah, I don't think my three receivers are going to combine for 12 points again. Unfortunately, A.J. Green playing Denver obviously is not great. And then T.Y. Hilton, if they match up Barrett on him, that could be tough. And Golden Tate has been a big disappointment, which is even worse because Jordan has Marvin Jones, and he's been telling me the whole offseason that he's a true number one, and unfortunately I think he's right. And then... yeah, D'Andre Williams is the best player in the league, so I'm all right without Left Bell. And then, yeah, so Jordan's going to be 0-3. I'll get Left Bell back. And then Corey Coleman just broke his hand, so Josh Gordon's going to be number one again, and then the league's mine.
The league's mine. So big day for Luke. He's got two players going against the Broncos, so I just get to actively root against him on two fronts, which is going to be super fun. Other than that, he still has Jimmy Graham as a tight end, which, I don't know, is an interesting choice for one. But, you know, that he legitimately talked to me probably 5 minutes ago about how the Dolphins' defense against Cleveland is just his favorite thing in the whole world, which you can't really disagree with at this point in time, considering I think Luke is actually starting at wide receiver for Cleveland this week. So it's going to be kind of strange there. But other than this one, I hate to say it, but Jordan will probably be the greatest 0-3 team of all time. Although David Johnson could be cool, but Buffalo's, you know, cold and stuff, so he probably won't like that so much. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Dez Bryant against Chicago could be interesting, but you kind of need a quarterback sometimes, which sometimes people forget that. So
it is important.
We'll see how that goes. And the Patriots defense pick is just the most average thing in the entire world. So, sorry on that one there, Jordan. Really cheering for you, believe me. But I just think Luke's just got a better team. And how did we let him get Left Bell still, guys? I'm still so mad about this. I have to live with this. Brutal.
I'm very sorry about that.
Yeah, it's the worst. We'll see. I always cheer against Luke's team, so it should be fun.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I don't like anyone that Jordan is starting other than really David Johnson. Like, Jeremy Langford was just okay, but I think Dallas's defense will probably step up. And Langford is going to get a lot of carries with what's his name being down, the Bears quarterback.
Cutler.
Yeah, Cutler's hurt. And so whoever the hell they bring in off the streets, I don't know if they can bring in Clipboard Jesus or whatever if the Pats still have him. Basically,
I think Ricky Sandy's available.
That'd be better than whoever the hell the Bears are going to bring out. Or
Luke,
even Cutler at that
question
point.
Is, would Luke pick up Ricky Sandy if he was the starting quarterback for the Bears?
I don't know. Absolutely.
I'll definitely pick him up. I don't know why I just started him. I think the Bears picked up – they have Hoyer, right?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Which he might not be – he might be better than Cutler, so yeah. Who knows.
Yeah.
But I still think Langford's trash and is going to lose his job in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that Howard guy's nice.
Yeah, Jordan Howard. Shout out Duncan. Dwight Howard.
Mm. Yeah, and Jordan, how much did he spend on Jacob Tanui a week after his $4. That's not bad. $4 on Jacob Tanui after his big week. I mean, that's the wrong pickup. I'm sure he's got it. Like, Jacob Tanui is still like a number two option and a three option tight end set for the Falcons. I'm not really a fan of that one.
should be a high-scoring game, though. And he's better than Barnage, but I was surprised to see that he dropped Barnage after I sent him a trade literally last week, and he declined it. So
did Barnage go for another goose egg?
No, he had – I don't know. He didn't get zero. I think he might have had, like, 30 yards. He only has, like, two targets this year or something.
That's not good. Oh, boy.
No.
Like, that's worth dropping in the white guy league, really.
Yeah. And now he's got Cody Kessler. So.
Oh, yeah. I see Jordan joining the 0-3 club. Possibly with me, and I think Pip escapes it. I'm a toss-up for joining the 0-3 club, but I think Jordan is for sure in there this week.
I agree.
Yeah, probably with you there. But someday, Jordan.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Maybe
next year you'll go undefeated.
good luck.
If
next
Jordan
year.
Goes winless after claiming he's going to go undefeated, yeah. What's going to happen? We have to
do something. He needs to do like a double beer mile.
Ooh, boy.
Back to back.
A beer 5K or something?
Yeah. A beer 5K. Like a five beer 5K.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. Yeah, we'll have to crowdsource a poll on that one for what does Jordan do when he goes undefeated or winless?
Yeah, undefeated.
Undefeated, actually.
Undefeated. That's true.
Very defeated. Yeah, when he goes defeated.
All right. Finally, we have Brandon against Fronik. Brandon, you had a hell of a week against me. All of your running backs that you started scored touchdowns and got more than 14. Coleman put up 14 for the second straight week, and Devontae Freeman, while he got 93 on the ground, couldn't find the end zone. Those two running backs play on Monday night against each other. And from Blunt down through their defense, your defense, you are projected to win every position. Walk me through this matchup against Frone.
Yeah, so I think I have the best 1-1 team in fantasy football history, probably. Shout out Jordan there on that one. Yeah, I'm not really worried about any of my players, which is pretty sweet. I mean, other than the fact that half my team is questionable, but, I mean, you know, if you think about it, we're all questionable, really. So I like Tevin Coleman a lot going against New Orleans, especially if I can, like, get some Tevin Coleman points at some Devontae Freeman expense points. So a little, like, double-dipping there, which is very nice. I think LeGarrette Blount's probably going to carry the ball 40 times against Houston, which will be pretty sweet. I don't really think that Belichick's going to allow Brisket to throw the ball. So that could be helpful, but I guess you never really know with Hoodie Man over there. I'm thinking this is the year that Odell finally gets out of his shell. I love all that talk of how Josh Norman's going to cover him one-on-one because I just don't think that's going to go well for him, frankly. So this should be pretty interesting. Hopefully they'll fight again. That'd be extra fun also. Then, yeah, my man Eric Decker, just a Bronco legend, the one. But we'll see what happens with him. It's really just kind of up in the air, see if he gets hurt or not. And Larry Fitz, of course, somehow, the old man Larry, still raking him in. So I'm pretty excited. We'll see. I just had to make some very late defense and kicking adjustments. But, well, you know, if that's important, then I'll just be mad for a while. But, other than that, feeling pretty good. I hope Zach Mountain is, as long as he doesn't, it's kind of brutal when you just don't have your first-round pick for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty good about that. Glad I got, glad I'm, even if Gronk plays, I don't think he'll be any good with you know, the Driskit throwing the ball. Big Ben's always a threat. That Philly defense seems pretty average. So that's nothing really to write home about there. I really like Kelvin Benjamin, but I know Minnesota's got a really, really good defense, so we'll see what happens there. That'll be a really – I imagine that being a pretty low-scoring game. So we'll see. And then John Brown, it's kind of just a lot of – it's really just Arizona Cardinals wide receiver lottery at this point in time. So it's a very boomer bust type situation. I'll take Fitz running the slot over John Brown. I just like getting more targets than Fitz, so – I'm excited for another good winning week. Although we have like kind of the lamest matchup in the league, but how is like Fronik just streak for so few points? So like whatever, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
you know what I say, you can't predict it. So
that is true. But yeah, John Brown has been nothing better than dog poop. While Shepard and Benjamin have been carrying his team. I do, yeah, it's just kind of like the most meh at matchup this week. Like, there's nothing really stands out. I mean, you're going with the Giants defense against Washington. I don't know how that's going to work. You got Sammy Twatkins, questionable. Big Dick Decker is questionable. Larry Fitz could possibly just collapse from old age at, like, any time.
Yeah,
That is true, but
you know, honestly, once my like half my team is no longer questionable, I'm gonna be feeling pretty good. But you know, what can you do? So I do like I find it interesting how in this matchup we have like we both have like three players on each other's teams, right? Yeah. More or less, because like I've got Coleman and he's got Freeman, and then he's got Sterling Shepard and I've got OBJ. And then, and we've got John Brown and Lair Fitz. So it's really just going to be touchdowns, which is just – this is that –
Murray and Wolford.
So really the hard-hitting fantasy analysis you're going to get from me is that it's going to be totally random, and it's going to be whoever scores touchdowns is going to win. So
that is very fair.
Groundbreaking news here.
Yeah, and while you guys are matching up with ones and twos, this will be the week where the number three guy basically gets all the scores.
Oh yeah, so no, absolutely. Yeah, Jerron Brown for Arizona is going to have like four touchdowns.
Oh yeah, easily. But they're all going to be thrown by David Johnson. Yeah. Like Carson Palmer won't throw touchdowns.
Yeah, it's
going to
be sweet. So who knows? It'll be good. It'll be a good time. I like my odds.
Luke, do you have anything better other than that meh analysis to add?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I like Brandon's team. And I think Frederick's team is probably bottom three in the league. John Brown, honestly, shouldn't, like, almost not even be rostered at this point. I'm surprised that Kelvin Benjamin's been as good as he has. It's too bad that his first two picks have basically been useless for him. He's got Gronk and then Freeman for him. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see what the Norman effect has on OBJ because if he actually can lock him down a little bit, Shepard could be open. But I'm also not sure how well Norman can do following OBJ.
OBJ just for sure, like, ran all over Josh Norman last year. So I just don't – and that was when he was on Carolina's defense, which is actually good.
Yeah, I think that could be
– well, I think it could be yucky for not me.
Yeah, I think he needs to stay in his comfort zone on the left side, but yeah, we'll see.
It is pretty great how he literally got peer pressured into doing something that just worked for him. So
Jay Gruden got peer pressured by John.
Ideal. So good to know that peer pressure doesn't stop as people get older. It's always nice.
It'll never end.
So yeah. Cool.
All right, well, thanks, guys, for being on. Enjoy rooting against each other's teams. Go not Broncos. And you guys have a good one.
Hey, be nice.
RIP in peace, Jamie Woodhead. Right. Sorry, Pip, and sorry, Scott. White man leave.
That's going to do it for the Semi-Pro Ducks podcast, episode 4, week 3 of the NFL season. Thanks again to Austin, Luke, and Brandon for coming onto the pod with me this week. If you want help with your roster, start-sit advice, waiver wire moves, or last-minute Sunday morning help, listen to the Fantasy Football Today Show live at 8 a.m. on CBS Sports Radio right here in Eugene on 95.3 The Score or online at cbssportsradio.com. They also post a daily show at 9 a.m. online at cbssports.com. Follow them on Twitter at CBSFantasy or use the hashtag FFT. That's it for week 3. Enjoy Thursday Night Football, everyone.